Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for the wake-up call. 404-726-0929. My name is Mike. That's Allie. Squid Billy hanging out. Dylon on the other side of the glass. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Topics for the wake-up call. We've been talking all day about top five list of quarterbacks the Falcons are facing this year. We had the same top six, just all kind of scrambled in different orders. So if you guys want to weigh in on that, maybe we missed one.
Is that surprising to you? That you and I
have. It's not in hindsight, but building up to it, I was like, man, this is kind of a tough list to make. And we both went all down all the same avenues with the offense they're in, the continuity, you know, the way the Falcons defense is going to play them. And it's like, yeah, how could we have not landed with these six?
Quarterback.
We also watch a lot of football together, so we could probably think about it very similarly.
Well, yeah, quarterback is one that it's easier to distinguish than like pass rusher to me. I know that, you know, a lot of people say, well, because once you get past the top five pass rushers, you got the tier A, right?
Yeah.
Tier B and C, tier B, I guess you could say, there's a big pool there, and you're kind of splitting hairs between who you like better, and there's some preference on it.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting that we literally had the exact top six, but we just flipped a couple of guys in our orders.
Well, I think you guys go down the same rabbit hole of thoughts about quarterbacks in football as you start to think about it. You're like, yeah, okay, so it's going to be Baker Mayfield. Wait, how did Tampa do?
Yeah.
What was last year? And you guys go down a different realm that other people just don't. So I think that's why you're very similarly linked when it comes to this.
Yeah, we also talked about pressure pack situations, I mentioned that I'm packing the car for vacation, for a 7-day beach vacation, which is just a massive moment for me. It's like, this is my time. Like, this is my Super Bowl. It's time to step up to the plate. I did get a text, too, from a buddy of mine who said that he was in charge of the 4th of July fireworks show. He's like, pressure pack situation.
Oh, no.
In charge of the 4th of July fireworks show. Yes, that absolutely fits the description. And we also, me and Bo went back and forth about backing in the boat trailer at the boat ramp. Like, that's a huge one.
I gave Allie this whole sermon about trailers that she really didn't care about, but I was like, yeah, people don't realize, but the bigger the trailer, the easier to back. The smaller the trailer, the harder it is to back in.
Yeah.
And it's true because
there's a pause there somewhere.
I was thinking the same thing.
But it's true. There's no anxiety ever like backing a trailer in a boat ramp when the boat's off and the guy is sitting there waiting for you to pull the boat in, and like then people are also waiting to get their boat out.
Yeah.
So there's other boats sitting there, and there's trucks sitting there, and you're just like, That's when you start sweating.
Pressure pack situations, man. It's time to deliver. You know what I didn't get to was because I haven't ever been through it, but when I meet my daughter's first boyfriend or first date,
I feel like
it's time for me to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Just, you know, grill a little bit at the door. Like, what's going on, buddy?
I don't think you're really going to be like that. I think you'd be like, hey, man, what's going on? I think you're going to be super nice and polite.
It depends on situation.
What do you think I'm going to be like then? If you think he's going to be nice
and
polite.
You're going to be standing there with a shotgun, like just for the intimidation factor.
Yeah. Just like, oh, no, I'm just sitting here in my chair with my 45 in my lap, my shotgun or sitting next to me. Might clean one of these at some point during this conversation. I don't know yet. I haven't thought about it. Makes you think when the last time I shot it was, huh?
Well, look, if you guys want to weigh in on any of these topics, quarterbacks, pressure back situations, whatever it may be, you can call in on the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Although it does look like we got pretty full phone lines. Let's go ahead and get to a couple of these. Dylan, let's go out to Chef Zay. He said he's sitting out in traffic. What's going on, man?
Good morning, good people. How y'all doing?
Living the dream.
I'm already knowing, especially in this damn traffic. So check it out, though. My wake-up call really is for anybody who can even put the word together and parse their lips and say that we need to trade Ronald Acuña Jr. Because listen here, you never trade the linchpin. You never trade the guy. Like, he's the guy. When you have a bad season, just chalk it up and say it's a bad season. Nobody ever said for 15 years or so, trade Mike Trout. Nobody ever said trade Chipper Jones. Nobody ever said trade Freddie Freeman. Like, a bad year is just a bad year. Nobody trade Julio. That was toward the end. But you don't, in the prime, just trade off your best player. Everybody else around him, that's fine. That's cool. And I understand how we feel because the vitriol is there every year for Atlanta teams.
Yeah.
But you just don't trade the guy. Like, no way in hell. You don't do that. Wake up, man. Y'all tweak.
I'm gonna let that breathe for a second, my man. That might have been a masterpiece of a phone call.
Let me tell you something.
Might have been.
Let me tell you something.
Knocked that one out of the park, buddy.
Two things. Jim Bowden, who's or Bowden, as some people, you know, I don't know, I'll never forgot to pronounce his name. He used to be a GM. He's somewhat of an insider. He goes, just to be clear, tweeted this: the Braves have no interest or plans to trade Ronald Acuna Jr., nor will they even consider offers for him, according to multiple GMs who have inquired after some various media reports. I said that to tell you this. That's why this show will never engage in basically clickbait radio to even talk about those. So I am with you. I'm with you, DJ.
Right. Look, I've been more along the lines of, like, there are pieces I would move on from. Ronald Acuna does not belong on that list. You know what you've said? And I will push back a little bit. There was definitely people that say, hey, you should probably trade Mike Trout. You know why? Because they knew the Angels are not willing to pay top dollar that, like, Shohei Ohtani was going to get from the Dodgers. There is nothing that puts a tattoo on your forehead that says, I'm cheap, like trading a former MVP caliber player in their prime. That is ridiculous.
The Angels have done it at times, though. They went and got Anthony Rendon. They thought it was going to be coming off a World Series season where he was one of the linchpins of that team. Remember, that Nationals team didn't have Bryce Harper.
Yes.
And Rendon was a stud.
Yep.
I don't think he's played a full season. And when I mean a full season, I think he's been there, what, 6 years now? I don't think he's played 162 games in the 6 years that he's been there. And they did pay Mike Trout. So I think the Shohei was, I think they were willing to pay Shohei. I don't think Shohei was willing to be there in that crap show, even with the money.
I don't blame him. Let's go back to the phone lines. And let's talk to our buddy Lawrence in the car. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Larry in the truck. What's going on, Larry?
What's happening?
Not much, man.
You can call me Lawrence. That's my legal name, but, you know. Anyway, I got to talk to Dylan and Allie and say, please go get a hearing test. Because obviously, you guys both missed it. I could hear it all the way in the
Larry.
Truck, way out here. I mean, come on. Yes. If I could hear it in the truck out here, you guys really just missed it.
Larry, it's very intense in here.
I'm sorry. Allie, I'm behind you, girl, but you missed it on this one.
Larry, you still would have lost because all I did on one of those was save him from saying the wrong answer said. So.
This is true.
Well, the other part of it is that if he would have heard those two, it would have been a whole lot closer. That's all I'm saying. That's all I got. But anyway, on the bug situation, I got to kill all the bugs in my house.
Yes, sir.
And as far as driving, the worst thing for me is, because I drive box truck all day, when I get on a skinny street and there's, you know, I got to block up. In order for me to drop my can off the truck into the driveway, I got to block traffic both ways. And I can tell you, if you don't hit the hole the first time, the running back ain't going to make it through the hole, okay? You're going to get squished. So those people start honking them horns, and they're taking their babies to school and trying to get home and cook barbecue and whatever, all that stuff. But so that's kind of a pressure situation.
Yeah,
Larry.
I'm puckered just thinking about it.
Larry's got a good one, though. You ever get gas at, like, Sam's?
Yeah.
And you know how they have, like, they have their lanes pretty close. And they're two-sided. And their line backs up.
Yep.
And so sometimes you're sitting there, and you're in that second pump where the first one up there, you know, can just pull out. But that person's just pulled in. And then there's cars beside you, and they're kind of over a little bit, and the guy's out with the hose on the left side when he should have went to, you know what I'm saying?
The guy behind you is looking at you going, I've been sitting here for half an hour, dude.
And you got to squeeze through. And in my art trucks, Mike, you got to squeeze through, and you almost have to enter into there and then pull your mirrors in and squeeze through. And that can be a little bit of a tense moment because, you know, and then what if somebody opens their door into you while you're doing it? So that's a good – he made me think of that.
Nice job, Larry. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's welcome in our buddy DJ up in Dallas. DJ, what's going on, man? Hope you're having a good morning.
Man, any day above ground is a good morning,
hey,
man.
Hey, ain't that right?
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm in sales, and, man, whenever I know a customer's got a delivery, and as soon as I know it delivered that day and I see them calling me out of the blue – talk about high pressure, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? Did I do everything right? Whoa, wait a minute now.
Yeah, because he's not calling to say thanks.
You know? I never get the call, hey, you know what? You are just the best ever. Thank you so much. You're doing such a great job. I don't ever get that call.
Yeah. I don't honestly know how anybody's in sales. I'm sure, let me change that. There are people in my life that are in sales that I'm like, you were born to be in sales.
Right.
I am just not one of them.
Right.
I don't have the personality that goes along with sales. There are just people that, and we have a lot of great ones here, at Odyssey, where I'm like, you know, you were just born to be in this line of work where you can make these connections, but then push it when the time it comes to be like, yeah, all right, man, let's get this deal done, whatever else it may be. And our buddy Domer is one of those guys. Like, he's been in sales his whole life. And I'm like, dude, you were just born for this life.
You know, doing
the whole PowerPoint presentation and everything.
Yeah, you've just got a totally different DNA if you can work in sales. Now, I was telling Bo when he was explaining the boat ramp, I'm so glad I'm female, and this is a lot of stuff that I don't have to do. Like, I don't get those pressure points. The one I feel, and it might be ridiculous, at Aldi, when you opt not to get a grocery cart, and you go through the checkout line, and they're putting your stuff in, and you got to wrangle it in your bag really fast. I get so stressed out.
That is what I would have never guessed.
It is so silly,
oh,
but I get
man.
So stressed out. I have to have a grocery cart so that I know I can just push it away calmly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that.
We've talked about this in his household because my household's flipped. Bo and I have had this conversation about the dishwasher. There is no pressure like my wife watching me load a dishwasher, where I know she's looking over my shoulder and she's just waiting for me to step away so she can rearrange it the way she wants to.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you? And I'm sitting there just putting it in piece by piece, kind of looking at her like, is this right?
Is this right?
Is this the way it
should
be?
See, I feel the pressure when Amy's doing it I try my best not to say something. Like, I try my best, and it is
she's
so
feeling
hard.
What I'm feeling. She's going, is this right?
And then I'll go, oh, I'm going to add this, and then I'll start moving. So she's just going to rearrange the whole thing? Yeah, probably.
Well, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Coming up, we're going to run down Mike and Bo's top five quarterback picks that they have listed off throughout the show today that we will be facing this season. See how you feel about it. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. Mike's here. Bo's here. I'm here. I'm Allie Mack. And Dylan is behind the glass. So you want to know one more pressure point every single day?
Yeah.
Every day.
Okay.
I cannot figure out, and I know I've brought it up on the show before, driving into Colony Square, that fog,
the fog,
man.
It was bad this morning. It was so bad. I thought I was going to take my side mirror off.
Do you want to know the trick?
I don't think there is one.
I've tried everything.
I think I've figured it out. Windows down.
But when you pull in or before you pull in?
Before you pull in.
Okay.
And then as soon as you pull in, turn your air conditioner on. Full blast.
Well, mine's usually on full blast anyways.
Yeah, so you have to turn the air conditioning off before you put your windows?
Well, no, I don't run my air conditioner in the morning.
What?
Yeah. I had the sliding back. I hope I closed it today. I had the sliding back glass, and so I open it, and I crack the window on the passenger side, and so I just get the breeze. And I have, you know, the air flowing in.
Man, that's making me sleepy just thinking about it.
No, it keeps me awake.
No, I need the air conditioning to wake me up.
Yeah,
driving.
Same. Like, blast me in the face with the Arctic air.
Yes.
I'm starting to, I've had, Mike was like, how much caffeine have you drank today? Because I've got energy. And I'm like, not really as much as normal. Like, I'm less today than normal because I didn't wake up early. I started eating more food, and I feel so much better.
You have more energy.
Turns out food gives you energy.
Yeah. It's really just more protein, but it's not like, you know, healthy protein. I mean, it's like pork and, pork is not as fat as people think. Pretty lean if you just eat the right parts.
Well, one day I'm going to figure out the Colony Square mystery of driving
in. Air conditioner.
Because I'm tired of, and then you got to park and make sure you turn your windshield wipers off, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah, because if not, they come on, they're dry.
Exactly.
It's that bad noise. You're like, and it scares you. You're like, oh, what was that? Oh, windshield wipers.
Oh, windshield wipers are still on. Oh, my lights are still on, too. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the quarterbacks the Falcons are going to be facing, and Mike and Bo, you guys listed off your top five. Let's run through those again, because you guys were pretty similar in your listings.
We should almost
so disappointed.
We should almost do our honorable mention.
Well, I was going to say let's list off the ones we did have, and I think our top six, which is top five on honorable mention. But then we can go through the ones we didn't have, and kind of list off kind of who I left off, because there is, and you brought up Justin Fields. There's the Drake Mays of the world. There's other quality quarterbacks. I just wasn't quite ready to put at the tier of being top five or honorable mention. So,
well, they're the ones that you think about when you're. When you turn the page, to the next team, you're thinking about Matthew Stafford, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us your list.
Okay, so my list from top to bottom was Tua Tonga. Now I'm having trouble remembering it because I turned the page. Tua Tagovailoa, and then I went Brock Purdy, and then I went Baker Mayfield, then Matthew Stafford, then Jaden Daniels, and Josh Allen was my number one. You had the same six, just in a different order.
Yeah, I had Brock Purdy six. 2 of 5, Stafford 4, Baker 3, because there's a couple of caveats with the Baker, including the fact you play him twice. Jaden Daniels 2, and I think it's just silly if anyone says the quarterbacks you're most worried about and they don't put the reigning MVP in Josh Allen, a guy who could have had multiple MVPs, just like Lamar Jackson has them. Lamar Jackson could have 3, Josh Allen could have 2 or 3 as well. If only they didn't play at the same time in their careers. And then Patrick Mahomes, they don't play this year, could have multiple ones as well.
I think that when you look at Josh Allen, the fact that last year his touchdown to interception ratio went way up. Like his interceptions, I believe, last year were like cut in half from what they were the year prior. And that's also losing his top two wide receivers in Diggs, and I believe it was Gabe Davis from 2023. And you know, they kind of remade that receiving core to the point where I got jealous for a minute that Mac Hollins was on their team. Like that's what Josh Allen does for you. That's what Josh Allen does for you. I was like, oh man, look at Mac Hollins just having a day, a couple explosive plays. I'm like, dude,
well,
yes,
I think they reinvented their offense a little bit. Once they moved on from, Ken Dorsey, they got, Joe Brady. I knew it was Joe. I wanted to call him Joe Cook. And I was going to say, because James Cook.
Yeah.
It was so good. Dalvin Cook's little brother was so good for them last year in a running game that it took pressure off of Josh at times, because you were in a lot more second and fives, right?
Yeah.
But Josh Allen he had 102 rushes last year for 531 yards, 12 touchdowns, by the way.
Dang. Insane.
52 of his rushes of the times he carried the ball resulted in first downs, and then you add another 12 for touchdowns. 64 times he moved the chains or put points on the board when he carried the football. That is a 64 of 102. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that we're not matched up with Patrick Mahomes this year, also not matched up with Jalen Hurts, although he did win that game last year. I don't think Jalen Hurts in week two was doing what he was at the end of the year, obviously, when they won the Super Bowl. But, you know, I remember, and Dylan was at the Brazil game. He did not play very well. He's coming into the Falcons game, didn't play extremely well. His over-under this year for touchdowns, have you seen this on the books? His over-under this year for touchdowns is 12.5. 12.5 for Jalen Hurts as far as the outlook on Vegas. So, yeah, I mean, look, when you go through the top five, top six list, and you get back to the fact that we had those top six, there does seem to be a second tier. I struggled with Sam Darnold. Like, what is Sam Darnold?
That one's one for me, too, because I just think that he was a product of a system last year, and you saw when you put pressure on him, he panicked. He doesn't have the guys to throw to. He has Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he doesn't have – who's the other weapon there?
Yeah, and look, DK's not there. There's a ton of different questions about that. He's just – he's too close to the bad version of Sam Darnold, because we both included Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has turned a corner in his career where the last 2 years he's been elite as far as the things he's been able to do. Sam Darnold, with another good year in a different system, I could start lumping him into that, because I think they're very similar when you talk about number one draft picks and things like that. Sam Darnold's just still close to the bad. He's still too close to the bad version. Like, one more year in Seattle of Sam Darnold being good, I'll be like, okay, and I can start looking at him in that tier.
I forget that they did go sign Cooper Kupp, but are you going to get a healthy Cooper Kupp?
Oh, I almost forgot about that, too.
Yeah, no, wow. I had to go back and look. And Noah Fant's not bad himself. So they got some guys, but I just don't know what – they got a two-headed monster in Walker and Zach Charbonnet. But I'm just not – but, again, health – but I'm really not sure what version of Cooper Kupp you get. And Marcus Valdez-Scantling is – he is what he is. He's a three. I mean, he's a, but – I just go back to how inept he looked in that last game of the year, in that playoff game, and they got pressure against him.
Do you remember who they signed as their offensive coordinator? Because that's the one of the more intriguing things to me about the Sam Darnold conversation. They signed Clint Kubiak,
who
was in New Orleans last year, as their offensive coordinator. They got rid of Ryan Grubb, who's now in Tuscaloosa with his old friend Kalen DeBoer. So I don't know. I'll be curious. Like I said, he could come out and light the world on fire. It's just one of those things where he's just still too close, where I'm still not far enough removed from the bad version of Sam Darnold to try to look past it.
The blueprint was put back out on how to beat him again after 16 weeks of not. It was put back out. Whether everybody can take advantage of that, I don't know. But I think we could have the pass rush too.
Do you – and this is my final part of this conversation, because we kind of broke into – Drake May is just not there yet. You don't know what you're getting here from Drake May. Do you think that when other teams are looking at the Atlanta Falcons, that they think the same way about Michael Penix that we do about Drake May? Do you think that he's in that same category? I tend to think that way as well.
Yes, and here's why. Because they're like three games. Okay, you play – two of those games were against the Giants and the Panthers.
Yeah.
So those defenses weren't great. Yes, you played good against Washington, but they were more of an offensive-led team when you look down at it, when it all comes together. So that's one thing. Then they're going to look at throws that he did miss, some of his timing routes that he did miss, some of, you know, his, there was some accuracy stuff. So I think they are. I think there's no reason why you can't be pessimistic about what he can be. Now, what I see is a guy that took over in the middle of the season and took command, has a hand cannon attached to his left shoulder, and led a team and that was trying to scrap for a playoff thing. And honestly, if you could have got some defense, would have made the playoffs, I think, with him. So there's glass half full, and those teams can look at it glass half empty. I can see both sides.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where that all kind of pans out in that hierarchy.
And if you do want to see Mike and Bo's picks for the quarterbacks that they're most worried about that the Falcons will face this season, you can see that on Twitter at 929MorningShift. Just a reminder, though, this conversation is happening because Falcons training camp is coming from July 24th through August 13th. Sports Radio 929 The Game will bring you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp. We're going to be out there. The Steakhouse, Andy and Randy broadcasting live from Flowery Branch as well. And when practice wraps up, you can also join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts July 24th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, Porzingis stopped by the midday show yesterday, and there was one really great moment where he explained how he found out he's a Hawk now. We'll cover that, and we've got a life of Squid.
Babe Ruth and Livy Dunn. Bet you didn't expect to hear them in a story. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan here with you. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Dylan, who picked this music out? Because I know it wasn't you. You don't play Johnny Cash back there.
The system picked it.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I was about to say. The system picked that one.
Is there anything?
He's going, Johnny Cash. Who's that?
Is there anything cooler, though, in Walk the Line?
Reese Witherspoon?
She's not cool. She's something else. He's in the recording studio, and the guy's like, you know, that record our guy's like, man, I don't want to hear this same Jimmy Dean song or whatever. He's like, well, I wrote this song in the Air Force. You got anything against the Air Force? he's like, no. And then he don't know this. And they just start singing, and the dude just starts picking the guitar.
Dude.
That part where the car comes in there is, that's such a great moment. And not only that movie, but that song.
It's just, we've talked about it before on the show, but the musician biopic movies. Just can't get enough of them. I could probably do a top five list on this if I wanted to break down musical biopic movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love every single one of them. I even asked, Get Rich or Die Trying. I love that movie. You know what I mean? 8 Mile. Love it.
8 Mile's great.
So good.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Love it.
You know what we need?
Would watch it a million times.
You know what we need? We need a Guns N' Roses movie. Like we at we at because the
didn't
the,
wake up today thinking I needed one of those, but maybe.
No, the drama that happened in that band with Axl and Slash getting, you know, basically their relationship and Axl Rose being unhinged and how dude would make crowds wait for like 3 hours. I mean, they rioted in I think Toronto because of our Montreal one of those Canadian cities, because Metallica had to play like almost two shows that night. I mean, there's such good stories that come out of the 80s hair band with Guns N' Roses. We got a Motley Crue movie. We can't get a Guns N' Roses movie.
I'm missing a couple of musical biopics that I'm not thinking of because I named off like eight the other day.
What is it, Jeremy Allen White that's going to be Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
That's coming out.
Yeah.
I know Bo's not going to go see it since apparently Bruce Springsteen is overrated.
You know what? Well, yeah, it is. He is. The only thing that might get me to see that movie is Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm a big fan of him from Shameless and then The Bear.
Yeah.
And then he did that wrestling movie.
The Iron Claw.
Yeah, where he's Kerry Von Erich. No, I think it is The Iron Claw.
Oh, Ray. Ray is a good movie.
The Blues Brothers was a great movie. Oh, that's not really.
You didn't like Ray?
No, he was just going off on Jeremy Allen White, and then you're like, "Yep, I'm still on music."
Yeah, I did
biopics.
The thing that Bo usually does, where I googled in the middle of it. Oh, Straight Outta Compton. That's it.
That's
exactly what I'm talking about. Rocket Man.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them, man. That they're good movies.
Yeah, because music's such a part of our lives.
Well, and Almost Famous. I know that's not a real.
Was the Bob Dylan movie good? Almost Famous. Now hold on. Almost Famous, you know what Almost Famous is based on, right?
I do, but remind me.
So Cameron Crowe, who is the like director of that movie, that is literally based on his childhood. He was writing something, and he did like a little, I think it was with Led Zeppelin, actually. It might have been the band that he toured with, but that's loosely based on his experiences on the road with bands. That movie is absolutely phenomenal. That's
I'm a
one
golden
of,
god.
That is one of Amy and I's first movies we ever watched together.
Really?
Yeah. The other one was the what's the movie with Bruce? Burt Reynolds, where he goes down the river.
I don't know. Land the plane, man. Land the plane.
You're going down the river with this one.
Everybody knows what movie I'm talking about. Hold on.
I don't know. Another one, Weird.
Deliverance.
The Weird Al Yankovic story.
I have not watched that one.
I haven't either. I haven't either, but somebody was telling me it was really good.
Apparently, it's really funny, but it's also, like, not realistic.
Have you guys ever seen
all.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story?
Yeah, that's funny. Deliverance was a movie I was thinking of.
Okay, there you go.
I want to see that Bob Dylan movie with Timothy Chalamet in it. I wonder if that was any good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That would be really good. Well, yesterday, I popped on Andy and Randy, and the first thing that happened on that show yesterday was Porzingis called in and just did an interview right off the top of the show. And I know we all clocked it yesterday when he was explaining how he found out that he was going to be a Hawk, because it wasn't the most traditional way of finding out.
I had no idea about Atlanta, honestly. No idea. And what I was expecting was Phoenix, L.A., Clippers, San Antonio, between those three.
Okay.
But then I woke up in the morning. Obviously, the whole trade happened while I was sleeping in Europe. And woke up in the morning and I saw like a bunch of like emojis. And I was like, what is this? Like somebody was sending these like eagle emojis, you know, in the group chats. And I was like, yo, what is this eagle? What team is this? It was like, oh, I was like, San Antonio? No. And then I was like, oh, it's the Hawks. I was like, oh, okay. Interesting. I wasn't expecting it at all, but honestly, I'm super happy when I heard the news.
So you have to try to figure out what emojis mean just like we do, because we're always watching you guys on Twitter like, what are these guys tweeting about with these emojis? So they do the same thing with
sure.
you.
That's so good, man.
It's
so good.
Funny. Can you imagine waking up and your life has changed, but it's all via an emoji and you have no idea what it means?
Yeah, I guess I never even considered the Europe factor. And obviously, we had Dyson Daniels on the show when he mm-hmm. was in Australia, and we were, you know, getting a chance to catch up with him. And it's just such a different dynamic when you think about waking up to the news that you're, like you said, your life has changed.
Yeah.
You're going to a different place. You have different teammates, different coworkers, and it's all kind of been decided without you over the course of the night. But the Eagles thing was hilarious. It's like, what is this? You know, is this the Spurs? I don't know what this is.
I'm not sure.
It's crazy. The emojis mean different things. I don't want to take us off the rails, but
I'm going to.
But
I'm sitting here minding my own business, and my Twitter refreshes, and I get a tweet from Kirk Cousins. not at me, but he has tweeted, I've been going to At Great Clips for years now, and they're recognizing my dedication with an induction into the Hall of Fade. Every time I stop into a salon, everyone there gets a free haircut. Your next check-in on the app could be for a seat next to me. Hashtag Great Clips Partner. And, like, I immediately lost my complete train of thought because I'm like, now y'all know why it was included in that episode of the quarterback. Like,
you don't think it was a reaction to that?
How convenient. No.
You don't think the quarterback put it out there and they're like, man, we need to sign this guy to
Mike,
a deal.
Mike, come on.
Yeah. You do know that he has creative control over his part of the quarterback.
I know he does.
It's in the contract.
I know, but you can't tell me there's some parts that he wouldn't like to have back. Like the whole thing where him talking about how difficult the motions were and trying to keep T.J. Watt onside, that
no,
I would cut that out if I were him.
I'd
be like, all right, man, nah, we don't need to include that. No, thanks.
I think that is part of his persona. I think that's part of what people think who he is, and I think that is part of who he is. So I don't. I think that I don't necessarily agree with that part.
Yeah.
But I do believe that this was I'm sure he goes there and they probably followed him, but then he was like, "Hey, I think Great Clips is going to they probably told Great Clips and they taught and that's why it made the editing cuz that was not a very good that didn't really do anything for me that he goes, "I don't care where you get your haircut."
The waiting list.
It just shows that he's an everyday man that he goes to Great Clips.
He had his head shot.
Yes, but, where he now gets free haircuts from.
Did you see though when he did go in and they were in that scene where they were cutting his hair? I was nervous for him for a moment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure that's what he wanted.
I've patronized Drake Clips a few times in my day. It's kind of it's a roll of the dice.
Right.
I mean, it's a roll of the dice.
I used to go to the Drake Clips all the time. Now I go to just a person.
Your hairdresser.
Yeah. What? No.
Yeah. Well,
she's my hair cutter.
She's your hairdresser.
No, she doesn't dress my hair. She cuts it.
Stylist.
I mean,
he doesn't even like that. He won't let that.
The style ain't changed in a long time. I mean,
oh man,
it's pretty generic.
Just do me a favor and don't keep refreshing your Twitter in the middle of segments.
I apologize.
We'll okay, thank you.
The Kristaps Porzingis. So, always want to thank Baron Burton's and the W Sauce and my friends at New Realm Brewing, the Allen Lager, official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. Jeopardy. Normally, I don't know, like once a month, once of every week. I don't watch Jeopardy, really, to be honest with you, anymore. They have sports questions here and there. This time they had a category called Sporty Stuff. And they had a question about what former college basketball star led their team to the national championship. You know what? I'll let you hear how this plays out.
Sporty Stuff 800.
This UConn star had an intense spring in 2025, playing on her first national championship team and being picked first in the WNBA draft. Rahul.
Who is Caitlin Clark?
No. Scott or Sarah? That's Paige Beckers.
They literally show a picture of it. I mean, if you've watched anything that covers anything that has sports on it in the last, like, I don't know, 3 years, you'd know the difference in Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers. Like, the thing they have in common is they're white women. That's it. I mean, pretty much it. So it was just funny. And then it's just funny how, like, these smart people, they know nothing about sports. But I don't know anything about what they know about.
There's a Trebek one that about the NFL or college football or whatever. And I can't remember the viral clip. He just keeps going down and they miss all five questions in the category. And he's like, guys, just going to throw this out there. Let's just keep going because I'm going to guess none of you know the answer to this next one. And they just keep railing. It's pretty funny when you look at it. And there was, and I brought this up to you. I don't know if you have it, but there was one from this same category, I believe, where they were like, how many points is a safety worth in the NFL? And the first guy's like, one. And they're like, nope. The second one's like, three. Incorrect. It's like, well, the middle one goes, two. And they're like, there you go. You got it. It's like, Jesus.
Well, it is funny how they might not know the pop culture or the sports, but like Bo was saying, we don't know anything else that go down American history, world history. We're not going to know.
This author released their hit in 1771. He's like, what?
Who is Edgar Allan Poe? He's a poet. Okay, my bad.
What I really miss about Alex Trebek is the way he would say genre. It was genre.
I miss Trebek. Even and I miss the Saturday Night Live skits that they did of Celebrity Jeopardy too. I'll take swords for 7,000, please. That's S words for 700. Anyways, I tease a Libby Dunn story. Y'all know who Libby Dunn is, right?
Yes.
LSU gymnast, yes. Paul Skeens, very famous, I believe, fiance now. Well, I can't, apparently she's trying to get into the like real estate thing, and her first apartment was going to be this New York City apartment that's located in the Upper West Side. It's 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath. I believe that's more of a condo at this point. But it was owned by the very famous Babe Ruth. In fact, Babe Ruth lived there from 1920 to 1940. It was on the market. It was listed at $1.5 million. No clue where she got that from, other than maybe Paul Skeens, but he's not making that much money.
What are you talking about?
What?
She's so rich, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I think she's probably got more money than he does.
Okay, well, don't got this. I don't know what you're doing.
She's got money.
She's got plenty of cash.
I just thought she was a poor college gymnast, you know? Who?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that. No. I don't think that category belongs to her.
I mean, I know she has got like 8 million people on the TikTok or whatever. Anyways, she was informed that the co-op board put the kibosh on it, and they voted her down. And apparently, they didn't want a famous public figure living there, bringing fanfare and commotion along with them.
Interesting.
So. Huh. I guess, what kind of people live there then?
Well, I'm going to take mine and yours judgment out of this, and I'm going to ask Allie, would she want a famous Livy Dunn living next door to her in a small apartment complex?
I would.
Would you?
Okay. I would.
I was like, mine and Bo's votes probably don't count for this category. Like, yeah, I'd be fine with Livy Dunn living next door. That'd be cool.
It might wear on you if there are people trying to snap photos or something, people trying to get in the building. That might wear on you.
You said that she was kind of doing this real estate thing. Does that just mean she's just buying a place to live? Or is that, are we?
I think that she was going to live there for a while and then probably sell it.
Or rent it out, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you can't do that at the co-op, though.
Sometimes people like to get in those places, do a couple of things to them, 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And then say, I lived up the ante for like $1 million, you know, probably like $500,000 to $1 million, because it's even, nothing sells like Babe Ruth and Livy Dunn's apartment.
I was going to say, if she sold it after a year, do you think the real estate agent would say, this is Livy Dunn's apartment or this is Babe Ruth's old apartment?
Depends on.
Exactly.
I think he would say both. Not only did Babe Ruth live here. Not only did your sports icon live here, but your sports crush lived here too. Now you really want to buy it. $1 for it. Don't worry about the fact it sold for $1 million less a year, like 4 years later or earlier.
Well, we are going to get out of the way, and Sandra are in. Happy belated birthday to Steak, by the way. For Mike, Bo, self, Allie Ding. Mack, thanks for being here today. Steakhouse is up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool.
Let it go.